John chapter number 5. It's not on. It is on. I thought I had it right. All right, John chapter number 5. If you have your Bibles, say amen when you get there. All right. So we are going to repeat a little bit kind of what we did last night, I guess, and maybe the Lord can help you with it. John chapter 5 is a very familiar passage. We're going to maybe not get very far in it, but we're going to just start reading. But I want to pray, and I definitely ask you to pray for me. I hadn't thought about this since last night, but I ask you to pray for me, and I need the Lord's help to even read it, much less preach it. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you in Jesus' name if you'd help me. Lord, I just have a desire to honor you first and foremost. And Lord, I have a desire that you'd help your people. And Lord, I pray that whether it's me, whether it's one of these other preachers tonight, that you would help your people, speak to their hearts, and do what you want in the hearts of your people this evening. Lord, I do best I know how, Lord, I just present my body a living sacrifice to you. Ask you to help me, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we come to John chapter 5. Really, we're going to see a group of people with problems. Really, that's what we see everywhere we look in the world. That's where we see, in John chapter 2, if you were to look, there was a wedding, but really there was a problem. People had a problem. They needed wine, and we know all about that. And we come to chapter number 3, and it's Nicodemus, a religious man, and he has a problem. And Jesus wants to help people with their problems is what we see. And in John chapter number 4, we see a lady with a problem. Jesus is waiting on her at the well, and we know that he had to help her, wanted to help her with her problem. And the reality is, Jesus wants to help you with your problem. Now, I don't know what your problem is. I don't mean to say it that way like I'm being a smart. Like, I don't know what your problem is, but he does. And he wants to help you with your problem. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. It's not just a man or a woman, but he comes to a multitude of people in chapter 5. And let me just read, because I'm out of sorts a little bit, but it says in verse 1, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, if you know your Bible, we know that there were three feasts that required Jewish men of age to go to attend these feasts. It was the Feast of the Tabernacle, the Feast of the Pentecost, and the Feast of the Passover. And many people think that this is the Feast of the Passover. And if you were to look in John chapter 6, verse 4, it says, in the Passover, a feast of the Jews was nigh. So here he is. What I'm going to say to you is Jesus is coming to Jerusalem out of obedience to the Word of God. And let me say this, Jesus asked us to obey the Word of God. We could turn and look at the Scriptures where he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and my commandments are not grievous. What I want to say to you is Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything that he would not do himself. And we see a picture or just one example of this in Jesus' life. He's in submission to the Word of God. So he's here in obedience to the Word of God, but Jesus has another purpose. We're going to see that in just a minute. His purpose is to help a man in need. So the Bible goes on to say that there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And I've always thought this was called the House of Mercy. When I looked it up this last week or so, it actually means the House of Kindness. And I'm not going to get upset over that, but kindness and mercy really mean a lot the same thing. But here we have this place called the House of Kindness or the House of Mercy. And it says, and there was this pool and it had these five porches. But in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. So what we're going to see in this passage is a whole multitude of people with problems. The reality is they wouldn't be there if they didn't have problems. Whether the problem is without strength, without sight, or they have the palsy, or whatever it may be, they have a serious problem. And it was obvious. Can I say it was obvious? If you were to walk up to this pool and you were to see the five porches, however it was laid out,
It was obvious by the sight, the people laying around. They no doubt they were dirty. There's probably all kinds of things that would not be pleasant if we saw this pool here at Bethesda. But here it was an outward problem. It was an inward problem, and it was an outward problem. But here, when we look at this for application to our life today, really what this is, this great multitude of people with problems, it's just a picture of our world being sinners. And we are full of problems. Whether we are saved by the grace of God, you may have your sin problem taken care of, but my, we have a lot of problems. But here's the difference between the people at this pool and us sitting in this congregation tonight. We look okay on the outside. None of us are bandaged up. None of us are withered or hauled. None of us have the dark glasses on and a pole to see. None of us are lame, and we all can walk, if you see that. But the reality is, just as they had a problem, we have problems. And here's what we're going to see. We're not going to focus on the miracle I think we're all familiar with. A certain season, the angel, God would have an act of kindness or an act of mercy, and an angel would come down. And I just picture that angel just stirring the water a little bit. But the Bible teaches us that the first person who would come in and get in that pool after the angel had troubled it, that person could be made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So the pool, in a sense, it was unlimited in its power to heal. Didn't matter if they were blind. It didn't matter if they were lame or had the palsy, whatever it was. It says it was able to heal them of whatsoever disease it had. But see, the pool was unlimited in that sense, but the pool was limited in that it could only heal once a season. And it was limited that it could only heal the first person. So you can imagine the scene here. It was a sad scene. It probably smelled. It was probably really sad. Everybody there is in desperate need of help. And they're just laying there with a little bit of hope that they could be the first one in the water. And we know in the story, I haven't read it all. I'm just going to go with it as I am. But this one man had been there 38 years. And you can imagine, maybe his parents, maybe he was blind or lame from birth, but maybe you can sense that his parents, when they heard about this pool of Bethesda and this water being troubled by an angel and a possibility of healing, they thought, man, if we can just get our son to the pool. And they got him there, and maybe, this is all supposition, but maybe the first year, I imagine it that, my, if we could just get him there and get him in there first, we could get healed. And no doubt, the Bible says it, so we have to believe it happened, however strange it may be to us. But the people that were there saw healings every season. Somebody was first to get into the pool. They saw healing every season that the water was troubled. So the people had hope. But really, what a lot of people had after a few years or a few seasons come to pass is they realized that their hope was lost. They're just, I can't get in there. I can't get in there. How am I going to get in there? And that's the situation with this man. He had nobody to help him when the water was troubled. Somebody comes and steps in after him. But here we see this time is different because Jesus is there. And Jesus comes to this multitude of people. But then Jesus comes a little further and he makes it personal with one man. He gets personal. And here we are in a church setting of maybe, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 people. How many are here tonight? But what the Holy Spirit of God wants to do in a church service, even though the pastor may be preaching to a whole group of people, the Holy Spirit of God wants to come in and make it personal. He wants to get inside your heart and do whatever it is, work that needs to be done. But the reality is we all have problems. And God knows what our problem is. We see in the text that Jesus knew that he had been there now a long time, the Bible says. He knew exactly what his problem was. But here's what seems strange to us. He says, "Will thou?" He walks up to that man, he makes it personal, and he says, "Will thou be made whole?" Now, that seems silly, does it not? I mean, if you saw a man up here and he was crippled, and I guess, I don't even know how to demonstrate it, but he is obviously crippled. I mean, it's a sad scene, and He's probably got soiled clothing on him. No doubt he's very weak. You could probably hear, as it was in the nursing homes years ago, you could hear groaning and moaning throughout the building because people in agony and in pain. And here he is laying there just with this look of hopelessness, and he's laying there paralyzed, and somebody walks up to him, and he doesn't even know who he is. But he asks that man, "Would you like me to help you?" Or the Bible says, "Would thou be made whole?" That seems like a silly question. Here's what we'd say: of course I want help. That's what we think we would say. Of course I want help. That's what we'd say. That's what we think we'd say. But here's the reality. Just as Jesus, the Son of God, comes to this man and asks him, does he want help? The reality is Jesus would not then, and the Holy Spirit of God will not now intrude into your life and force upon you help that you do not want. Can I say to you, just like that lame man laying there, he could have very easily said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "No, thank you. I do not want your help." And every time you're in a service and the preacher's up preaching, maybe before the preaching, maybe it's in a song service, and the Holy Spirit of God comes to you and to your heart and he tries to make it personal, what he's asking is, "You've got a problem. Malia, you've got a problem. And I know you've got a problem. And you know that I know you've got a problem." See, the reality is you can fool me. You can fool your parents. You can fool the preacher, and I'm not talking about you, but I'm saying we can fool people on the outside because we look okay. But the reality is God knows where we are. God knows our problem, and God, the reason he is making it personal to this man, and the reason that the Holy Spirit makes it personal to you, he says, "I know your problem, and I want to help." Thank God for the times that the Holy Spirit came to me as I was a sinner. I can't get into it, but he drew me to himself and showed me that I was a sinner. And I could have said to him, "No, Lord, I do not want your help." But I'm so glad 24 years ago I said, "Yes, Lord, I want to be saved." And he helped me with my sin problem. But thanks be to God, he has come to me time after time again, and he has pointed out something in my life, and he has said to me, "You need to get that fixed. Maybe the pastor's preached on prayer and it doesn't take much more than a sentence or two on prayer, and the Holy Spirit of God will come to me and says, 'Oh, you know, you need to pray more.'" God knows my problem, Brother Clint, and he wants to help me with it. But here's the reality. Whether it's salvation or some other kind of shortcoming or sin in your life, this man could have easily said no. But he said, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I want help." He was honest with God. Here's how this man got help. I don't have time to start. I'm just going to stop in a minute. But he says this. This is how he got help. Here's the reality is we all have problems. And God knows our problem. God wants to help us with our problem. And he wants to make it personal to you. And he says, "Do you want my help? Do you want my help?" We can say, "Yes, Lord, I want your help." Yeah. Or we can say this, "I don't want your help." We don't have to say it out loud. It's personal. It's between you and God. But here's how this man got help. Jesus comes to him. He makes it personal. And this man is honest. He says, "You know what? I do need help. Oh, my. I wish, and I pray to God so often that people in this church would say yes to God. I need help." You're not going to get help outside of being honest with God about your need, and he knows. This man was honest. He said, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." Here's what Jesus says to him. Jesus says, he's honest with God in verse 7. In verse 8, Jesus saith to him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." Jesus gives him a command that he cannot do in the power of his flesh. He physically cannot obey God, but he's willing to. And somehow we know it's by the power of God. The verse 9 says, "And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and walked. He was healed. He was helped. I mean, the miracle goes further than just being able to walk. This man's body had never walked. Babies just don't have strength when they're born. They have to have muscles. They have to have the ability. Immediately, this man was made whole. The reason he was made whole was he was honest with God, and he was willing to obey what God said to do. That's what we need. We need honesty and a willing heart. And if you'll do that with God, He will make you whole. He will help you with your problem if you'll trust his help. Well, that's where we're going to do tonight. If you would, just stand to your feet, everybody in here, and just bow your heads. And I'd like you just to be honest with God, just as simple as I said already. Would you be honest with God this evening? The Lord, you just play something, Miss Emily. The Lord wants to be personal with you. The Lord already knows your problem. Malia, I pinpointed you, but I'm speaking, I'm hoping the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to everybody. And he knows your problem. I can ask you, what is your problem? What's hindering your walk with God? What's keeping you from being 100% sold out to God? God knows what it is, and he wants to help you with that. But you've got to be honest with God. Be honest with God and obey him. Would you do that tonight? Just be honest with God.